We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Total Celebrity segment. And I'm excited to welcome the program George Newbern. And we all know him from as Charlie in ABC's TV series Scandal and Brian McKenzie in Father of the Bride films. How are you, George? Thanks for stopping by, man.
I'm doing good, man. I'm up early over here in Los Angeles. I don't know where you are in the country. You're probably
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I've been up since.
You've been up for a while.
I've been up since 5:30.
Okay.
I was on Clubhouse at 6:30. So there you go. That addiction of Clubhouse. I'm so addicted, man.
I don't even know what Clubhouse is. What is Clubhouse?
So Clubhouse is an audio app. Okay. So you basically go into rooms, different rooms based on specific things like podcasting or voiceover or whatever.
Right.
And basically what you do in those rooms, what's really cool is it's just an audio chat. So you see your face and you talk audio wise, and it's the hottest craze. You got to Google it, but it's invite only. So George, if you see my cell phone number and you want an invite, just text me offline and I'll get you an invite.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I mean, it's an awesome app for sure. Look at club. I'm waiting for Clubhouse to pay me for these advertisements. Come on now, guys. No, but I mean, they've had like Elon Musk has been on there and all these things. And as a voiceover guy, and even, I mean, it's worth already $1 billion. So you have to Google it when you get a chance, George. But so George, acting, what led you to voiceover? Were you always a voiceover guy?
You know, I'm a guy who's done a little of everything my whole career. I did my first cartoon series after when I first got to L.A. First year I was there, I did a series for a Hanna-Barbera called Pirates of Dark Water. And I played the protagonist in that thing. It was awesome. I got to work with, you know, Jodie Benson and the Little Mermaid. Who was it? Tim Curry and Roddy McDowell and Jonathan Winters was on. I mean, it was a nutty crew. It was great. It's really fun. But anyway, so I started doing that, and then I did on-camera stuff immediately as well. And then I've just sort of been doing it on and off throughout my career. And the audiobook thing sort of has happened in the last six years or so, just because I was looking for something that was something that I could hopefully generate and not have to rely on my agents, and something that was creative and steady, you know, sort of steady, creative, and I wouldn't have to depend on someone else. So this fit the bill, and it keeps, you know, keeps my mind active, and it's a great anti, a sort of antidote to on camera work in many ways, you know.
So let's kind of, and that's interesting. I want to be a voiceover guy. I honestly do. And what tips would you offer me? I've learned, first of all, I thought, man, this is tough. You got to read so many things, but it's really line by line. So it's very painstaking to do voiceover. It's not just like you're going to read a whole entire script.
Yeah.
You're going to stop in between.
I would tell you, it is and I've said it before, like being a one man band, you have to analyze as an actor. You have to analyze the material. You have to direct yourself in the material. You have to actually interpret and perform the material, and you have to engineer all at the same time and direct yourself at the same time. So it is like you're a one man band, and you have to have really athletic skills to be able to do it. I mean, anybody can sit down and read a book and stick a microphone in front of you, but you have to really envision, I think, someone driving their car or, you know, folding their laundry, and what is, you know, vocally going to get their attention, but not take the listener out of the story. So I think that's the challenge. It's so funny. I've been doing a bunch of books, and I finished this one about 2 months ago, and I've done sort of 5 books since then. So I had to sort of refresh myself about this, and I went to Audible and I was looking. Sometimes I can't help but look at a review to sort of see how it went. I was like, the first one was like, this is a terrible narrator, the worst narrator I've ever heard. And then the one right below it, best narrator I've ever heard.
So you have to have thick skin.
You can't look at reviews. You can't look at reviews. But really, it's, you can't do too much in an audiobook, but you have to do enough to engage the listener, not be annoying, because there are a lot of narrators. God bless them, but I'll listen and I'll go, how in the hell can someone listen
exactly
to that?
Exactly. Why? How?
But,
yeah.
So you have to have kind of almost not a boring voice, but a voice that's not doesn't annoy and grate on someone, So almost a colorless sort of voice, but at the same time, an ability to characterize the action in a fiction. And then in a nonfiction, you know, you have to sort of bring it in a conversational way, as if someone was sitting next to you telling you about Benjamin Franklin or, you know, World War II or, you know, the vaccine. And
so it's more, it's a lot more acting. Voice actors and versus voiceovers are two different animals, it sounds like.
Completely. The audiobook, by the way, the audiobook world is its own beast. It is not at all like voiceover. It is not at all like animation. It's not like commercial. It is its own discipline, its own thing. And I mean, it's more, in many ways, it's more like, I went to Northwestern and we studied, I studied theater, but there was a department called Interpretation of Literature. And it's basically, you stand at a lectern and you read fiction or material out loud, and you sort of personify it, but you don't dramatize it. It's a weird distinction, but it's sort of like it's almost like reader's theater, you know.
I mean, I don't know if I could do that, and you can't tell my voice because I'm coming in through a phone with you the way I have it hooked up with my mixer. So it goes to my mixer, my professional Rode mic, and then goes into the recording audio. So you can't rate my voice or anything. But on Clubhouse,
I can tell you right now, you've got a radio voice. I'll tell you that.
Okay, oh, and I don't even try to
do
that.
Radio voice.
Yeah. So does that equate to voiceover? So you know. Well, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. But people have told me that on Clubhouse. So I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I'll maybe put it out on Fiverr, you know, and then you know, you charge based on the number of projects and stuff, but we'll see. We'll play it by ear, something for another place. But let's talk about the book.
Go ahead. I was going to say, like life, it's, you know, you just 95% of it is showing up. So go for it.
Exactly. So again, let's talk about, or I'll do it for my clients though. So it is what it is. All right. So the voiceover acting gig you're doing is We Begin at the End. So tell us about that, about the book, the audiobook. Yes.
Well, the book is it's sort of part thriller, part mystery, but mostly I think it's sort of about love and loss and sacrifice. Really, it's sort of takes place over 30 years in a Northern California town about this little 13-year-old girl and her little brother who are basically orphaned, and a police chief in town who sort of checking in on them and trying to help them while they navigate being bounced from place to place. And simultaneously, this police chief's best friend from high school has been released from prison for murder. So you kind of find out why he went to prison, what really happened. And it's pretty heartbreaking actually, but ultimately affirming a way that families take care of themselves and different definitions of family and try to sort of stick together and raise each other, really, you know. It's great. It's a great book, honestly.
All right.
Chris Whitaker did a great
book. No, absolutely. And how do you, like, you were talking a little bit about that, but what about putting yourself in the mind of that author? Because I think it's important. Whatever the writer is thinking, the person telling the story and the characters, you really have to live them in a lot of ways. Do you read the whole book before doing an audiobook, or do you try to get the premise of how the characters are and stuff? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most books, honestly, I can't read every single page of it, but you have to know, especially in a fiction, you need to know where the story is headed with the story arcs and the main characters and, you know, what beginning, middle, and you need to know what the story is. And you need to do research. You know, I need to know what the author's done and the sort of the style and the rest of it. But honestly, there's not enough time in the day to read the amount of books that I'm doing is not enough time to read every single page. I wouldn't have time to eat or, you know, sleep. So, but specifically with this book, I don't know the mind of Chris Whitaker. I don't know what that is, but I try to get a feel for what I think it is. And I mean, I guess that's part of the, you know, part of the quote unquote art of doing it, is that you sort of interpret what you believe the author's intention is you want to give a little bit of yourself, but without trying to impinge on the author's intention. It's a delicate dance. You know, you don't want to say, I'm going to make this book my own. You don't want to do that. You want to, channel as much as you can the tone of the author and the writing and bring a story to the listener. That's your job, really. So
okay, all right. So let's go. Continue. This conversation. I just love this topic. This is a fun topic. And so yeah. What did your, yeah. So, and basically doing these interviews, what would you say about getting to voice over the whole book? What are your thoughts of the book? What did you enjoy most about it without giving it away? The story.
What I love about the book is that it is, I think it is expertly written in terms of tone and sort of emotion. He's really great at sort of getting into a character's life and the sort of inner life of these characters. You feel what it's like to be in their shoes, and you have a special empathy for this 13-year-old girl as she sort of faces life, and she's seemingly really tough and cynical, but she's really just trying to survive. And I think we all feel that way in many ways. You know, you feel like that kid at that playground who's like no one's talking to. I think everybody has felt like that. And I get that sense from her that she's sort of the eyes and ears of the author trying to navigate, you know, life.
Most definitely. All right. So I guess what's coming up with you? What are other new things? I think everyone needs to definitely check out the book for sure. And I find any type of thriller for sure. But what's new with you? I know all the fans want to know what's going on with you.
I would love to tell you that I'm flying to Malta to do a movie with George Clooney, but that's not happening. But I'm right now with, I've had a couple of auditions, and hopefully, you know, maybe we'll hear something back soon on some of these. I've had some jobs that may have happened in Canada, but with the quarantine, it didn't make sense to leave. So I've pretty much just been here doing audiobooks and hanging out with the family.
But it's good. It's work, you know, right? It's work and it pays you, right? Good. And it's good work. Yeah, That's good. The thing.
People, I've been working, but I haven't been doing it.
But people don't understand that voice actors are worth a lot of money, guys. That's why I'm asking you these questions, because they truly are. Because the fact is a voice sells everything and anything, for sure.
It really does. You don't really realize throughout your day, if you're consuming media in any way, you're listening more than as much, if not more than you're looking. You know, if you were driving in your car, you're listening to music, and they get the radio, the commercials, and all the commercials on TV, you're actually hearing what the guy's saying as well as looking. So there is a ton of audio work out there that people don't quite appreciate, you know, how much a part of their lives it is, you know.
And the audiobooks. I was going to close out. The audiobook We Begin at the End is available where? Where can we check out the audiobook?
Gosh, I know it's on Audible. Audible. Every book I do is right on Audible. That I know. It's Macmillan is the publisher, but it's Audible's probably the easiest way to get it.
Hey, and I'm going to be rooting for you. And if you want to jump on Clubhouse and teach people tips and tricks, just go to my website, neilhaley.com. My cell phone number's there. Text me, say hi. If you want to, I'll give you an invite as ASAP. So I appreciate it.
Awesome.
All right. Great talking to you. Take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.